Good morning and praise the Lord. In Africa, when we say praise the Lord, the whole church would say amen. And then I would perhaps say Bwana Sifiwe. And again, you would say amen. So Bwana Sifiwe.
Amen.
Great. Bwana Sifiwe just means praise the Lord. So you are learning very fast, and I commend you for that. Well, thank you for having me come to Jacob's Well. And I bring you greetings from Nairobi, Kenya, from City Harvest Church, and from my family, my wife Beatrice, and my daughter Jean. My daughter just turned 13 on 2nd of this month, and my son Andrew, who is 9. And I also bring you greetings from Pokot, our friend that you have known perhaps through stories and pictures that you have seen, and through some of the people who have made contacts with them. They also send their love and greetings. And I do want to thank you again for, I'm sure some of you are aware that the church is planning to send a team over to Nairobi or to Kenya next month. And we are excited about that because, like I've shared with you in the past, in Africa, we are a feeling people, a touching people, a talking people, a seeing people. So we appreciate writing, but not so much because not all of us know how to write. And so when you come out there, it means so much. It's significant and it's very special. And so we are looking forward to having the team that is going to come and be with us in Kenya next month. And we'll be going to Pokot again. They will make contact with Pokot. And so we are very, very excited about that. And in case there is space for signing up, please, it's not too late. I would love for you to join up and come with the team. We have an African saying that says, tears are best wiped with your own hand. And so please do come and have a feel for yourself. It's good to hear the stories. It's good to see the pictures. But I think sometimes in Africa, like I'm sure Alan will tell you, it feels good when you smell it, when you touch it, when you walk on it. It gives a different feel. And so we would love to have you come and be part of that. This morning I want to share with you on a message of faith. I've titled the message, Faith That Transforms. Faith That Transforms. And that will be coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 to 8. Essentially, you are meant to read the whole passage, but because of time, I will just be looking at verse 1 to 8. And leave you with an assignment to read the rest of the passage at home. And then tomorrow I'll be up here in church with a big stick and a marking pen to check who read and who didn't read. So, so don't stay away from church tomorrow. I'll be here waiting. So if we can all turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 8 and read together. Please, let's do that. All right, let's read. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your loving kindness towards us. We thank you for your mercies that are made new to us every morning. And we thank you that we can come in your presence and sit at your feet and learn from you. And Lord, we ask that with the help of your Holy Spirit, you will give us insight, revelation, and understanding even as we share on faith this morning. Would you, Lord, speak to us? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you speak to our spirit that in hearing we will hear and in listening we will receive that which you have for us today? We thank you and we bless you for this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, of course, the classical passage of faith, which I'm sure is not the first time you are listening to this, and perhaps the first time you're reading this. I'm sure you've read this many times. And it's one of those things that I believe we need to be reminded every time, because faith is really the essence of our belief of who we are, of who we are. And so this morning I want to share with us three things that I believe would lead to a faith that transforms. And this is the faith that transforms our lives, faith that transforms our communities, and faith that is able to transform mankind. As we shall see later on, it is this faith that transformed individuals, and the same faith transformed families, and the same faith has led to transformation of people in different places. And I'll be sharing, God willing, and what God has been doing in Pokot in terms of the faith that, you know, you and us took to trust God and begin to obey him. And we'll be looking at what that has led to. I want to share with you three things that I believe make up this faith. And the very first one is what I believe comes from verse 1 to 3, and this is what I call the assurance of faith. Our faith needs to have an assurance. And I believe that's why we have church. We come to church every morning or every Sunday, and we meet as believers to encourage our faith, to assure our faith, to remind ourselves, to inspire each other, to motivate one another. This is faith. We have to remind ourselves constantly. Why? Because we live in a world that is constantly challenging our faith. We perhaps meet so many issues that are working against our faith than those that are actually encouraging our faith. And so we need a constant assurance. Some of us need to be reminded every day that we are believers. And you have to declare this perhaps to yourself when you wake up in the morning. God, I thank you that I'm a believer. I thank you that I'm a child of God. That's an assurance of faith. You're reminding yourself. You're encouraging yourself. You're inspiring yourself to move on. We need to declare that. We need to reassure ourselves constantly that actually God hears and answers our prayer. Why? Because there are so many things that we meet and challenges that actually make us feel like he's not answering prayer. Have you been there? You know, you've been praying and the voices come to you and ask you, does he really hear and answer prayer? Yes, he does. And we have to remind ourselves that. So our faith needs to have that assurance that God listens, that God answers our prayers. In fact, I think some of the people who ask many questions are not people out there in the world. They are actually people in church. It's believers who ask questions about God. God, where are you? God, how comes I can't see you in this situation? Do you think the folks out there care? No, they don't. But it's us. As we sang the song, we just said, God, you know, my anxious thoughts, and please know I am helpless. What are we saying? We are saying, God, we need you in that situation. We need to remind ourselves every now and then. the assurance of faith, because that's the world we live in. The battle for our faith is always challenging us to ask ourselves, do we believe the right thing? And we need always to say, yes, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. We need to have that assurance of faith constantly. The second thing that I believe our faith needs to have is that our faith needs to lead us to action. And this is perhaps the most difficult part of our faith. It's easy to believe. The Bible says actually the devil also believes that there is God. But does that lead him to any action? Mm-mm. But you and I believe, and that made us to take the step to believe in Jesus Christ. And so our faith needs to lead us to action. In spite of it being the most difficult thing to do, God calls us to step out in faith, to step out in action, believing him. Now, that's not an easy thing, because a lot of times when you want to step out, again, the challenge comes. How sure are you that you're doing the right thing? Or how sure are you you're not stepping out in darkness? In fact, we keep saying that faith is not a step in the dark, but is a step in the hands of God. Because the challenge will be every time you want to step out in faith, the doubts come in and they tell you, are you sure? Wait a minute. Are you doing the right thing? But supposing you go wrong, supposing you step into a ditch and you fall and hurt yourself. And the idea is stay away. Don't do anything. Just don't take any action. It's fine to believe. Just stay there, but don't step out in faith. Well, faith calls us to step out in action. And we are told of how these four men stepped out in faith and believed God. Abel, the Bible said, offered a sacrifice to God. I believe when Abel was offering this sacrifice, he just didn't know what he was doing. He was just obeying God. His heart was crying out to please God. And the Bible says he pleased God with his offering. Look at Enoch. When Enoch went out, the Bible says he walked with God until he was no more. He just vanished, disappeared into God, if I may say so. I'm sure he didn't know. He had no precedence to follow. He just walked with God. See how his faith transformed him. It took him to go with God. And others came after him. Noah came up, and Noah had heard of stories. Perhaps he had heard of Abel. He had heard of Enoch. And so Noah listens to God, to God's voice. And in fear and trembling, he chooses to obey. And what does that lead him to? At least he saves his household. You know, he's able to save a community. His faith does not just transform him. His faith transforms his community. And I'm sure when Noah was building the ark, everybody around there was like, what are you doing? I mean, it's never going to rain. And even if it rained, when did you ever see a rain that required anybody to have an ark? And so he was perhaps doing the wrong thing at the wrong time in everybody's view. But he was obeying God. No wonder he had no converts. He was only able to save his family, his household. Faith, the faith of Noah, led to a transformation of his community. Abraham comes after him, and I'm sure Abraham has heard of Noah. Abraham has heard of Enoch. Abraham has heard of Abel. And he chooses to obey God. And what does his faith lead him to? To transform the whole mankind. He believes God for bigger things. He says, even though I don't see it, but I will trust God. I will believe God. No wonder when God calls him to go to a place he doesn't know, he just obeys and goes out. And as a result of his faith, we are told now we are the descendants of Abraham. The faith of Abraham transforms the entire life of mankind. And I believe God is calling us to a faith that transforms. And we can only do so when we step out in action and in obedience to God. I want to briefly share with you some of the little steps of faith that we have taken together with you and what this has led to. And when we did this, none of us knew that this is what it would lead to. When Jacob's Well came to partner with City Harvest to do wells in Pokot, we were just struggling to do one well. It was headache enough to just do one well. But you know what that has led to? We now have 11 wells in a place where there was totally no water at all. In a place where people lived fighting and raiding because of natural resources, lack of pasture, lack of water, the community had to move from one place to the other. And in the process, as they went around, they kept trespassing on people's land and others' territory. And they also saw opportunities to raid and to take away livestock, because in their culture, they believed that every cow belongs to them. And so if a Pokot comes into, is it Omaha where you have so many cows? They might take away all the cows back to Pokot because they believe every cow belongs to them. But by the grace of God, they now have water and they don't have to move. The community that we are working with, they don't have to migrate anymore. They are now establishing communities, permanent communities, because they have water. And the water has led to so many other things as well. The water has led to schools. I didn't mention this in the earlier service, so you have the benefit of listening to this. But did you know that actually schools cannot happen in Pokot for so many reasons, including bees? That the bees come looking for water, and when they miss out on water, they actually become so violent that they would cause all communities to move out, because they are everywhere stinging people. They are looking for nectar and they can't get water, they can't get flowers, and so they really get violent. And so schools would not basically run because bees have gone wild. Schools would shut in Pokot. But you know what now? The water wells have brought peace between mankind and bees. The bees don't have to be violent anymore. So the kids can actually have school. And I'm so delighted that one of the schools that we are working with is actually now growing. We have classes developing after classes. And we'll be sharing a little bit about that. The little steps of faith that we took is leading to so much, even to things that we never anticipated. Laura, if you would give us the first slide, please. These are kids in Pokot, and those are the laptops that Alan and Aaron came to help and work on installing in that school. The school is basically a madhouse and no electricity. They use solar to power the laptops. And this became an attraction in the whole country. The gentleman you see, there are two gentlemen there. One of them is a Kenyan guy, and the other one is a Dutch fellow. They run a Dutch development agency, you know, like USAID, the equivalent of USAID in Kenya. And they were so intrigued when they heard that this school in Pokot has 100 laptops. And they wondered, how do you ever get 100 laptops in the middle of nowhere, in the most remotest part of the country? And they went out to see, because they could not believe it. And they called me and told me, Pastor, we've heard that you have delivered 100 laptops to Pokot. And We've been working with the government of Kenya for the last 7 years to introduce e-learning in schools. And all we have had is conferences after conferences after conferences, and we don't even have one computer anywhere. And so we want to see what you have done. And I told them, well, I'm a pastor. I don't do computers. I don't know even what e-learning is. I just took computers to Pokot because I was shocked that the children in Pokot have never seen a computer. They don't even know what a computer is. So they came over there and they were so excited. And they told me, Pastor, we want to help develop this to be the center of e-learning in Kenya. I told them, you know what? You can do anything you want. I'm a pastor. I just preach. I don't do e-learning. I don't do computers. And so they took it up and they trained all the teachers. And they have actually trained the teachers in the North Rift region. You're talking of the part of the country, the largest province in the country. They have trained all the teachers on e-learning in Kenya just because of seeing this in this remote part of the country. And so they have been building the capacity of the teachers using this model throughout the country. Some of the teachers have actually been invited to go and make presentations in some major conferences in Kenya on e-learning. I don't even know what that is. And that's the Dutch man, the one who leads the organization. So he's there looking at the kids, so fascinated at this remote community and wondering how on earth did they just get to know about computers and do this. Give us the next slide. This is one of the water wells that I said has brought this change in the community. The next slide. Now, the Pokot are not an agricultural people. Livestock, nomadic pastoralist. They live on the cow. The cow is their lifeline. The cow gives them food through milk and meat. The cow gives them clothing. In the olden days, they would use the hide, you know, for their cloth. The cow is their symbol for wealth. You know, so the more cows you have, the more wealthy you are. And so they are in a catch-22 kind of situation. They want food, but again, they can't kill the cow. And so probably the best way to get a cow is to raid another neighbor and eat their cow, but keep yours because it keeps you wealthy. So they are in that situation. You can get the milk, but also their herd is the very, you know, it's nothing that is in this world. It gives you a little cup of milk. So how many people can feed on that? It doesn't have enough milk. Their breed is still very basic. And so they would love to have as much food, but they can't just be eating their cows every day because they will deplete their wealth. The cattle is also shelter to them. They use the dung to build the walls of their houses. So the cow is symbolic. I mean, it's their lifeline. They live on the cow. And so again, they don't want to kill so much of their lifeline. And so we've started introducing them. And when Alan and Aaron were there, they actually were helping them to start growing vegetables. And as you can see, the mother there has harvested quite a bunch of it, which is totally new to them. They would actually, when drought strikes, they would eat bush berries. And so the first time they put up a crop of tomatoes, they harvested a lot of them and they called me and they said, Pastor, what do we do with it? And I said, eat it. You know, I mean, how else? If instead of eating bush berries, just eat the tomatoes. And so now they are learning what tomatoes are, what vegetables are, and they are actually eating them. And so what began as wells is now producing food, nutritious food for the children, for the families, and for the entire community. And what began as wells is actually also bringing a church into the community. As we speak right now, we've started planting a church among the Pokot community, a Pokot-speaking church. The next slide. Now, on this picture, you will see folks there, three Americans. The gentleman on the right from your side is called Andy Dupont. He comes from Michigan. He was visiting in February, and we went up to Pokot This was about his third time to visit Pokot. And the man who follows him is a very senior man in government. He would probably know him. He visited you at night. He is what you call, he's the equivalent of the secretaries. You have the Secretary of State in Kenya, the Secretary of Transportation. We call them ministers in Kenya. So he's the minister in charge of communication and information and communication in Kenya. And the gentleman next to him is Noel. He's the president of Love Mercy. And the other American guy is called Ryan. Ryan is part of Love Mercy. And they run a company called Magitech. And Magitech is the company that was contracted by, through you people, to drill the wells that have just been completed now. And so February this year, we all met together. And we're rejoicing at what God has been doing in Pokot. Now, with that senior man in government, he's been to Pokot. He visited them two times. And that was the very first time he was coming to that area. Because it's such an abandoned area, nobody goes there. And I remember when we were planning to do the laptops, he actually came to me and told me, "Pastor, can I take you to another place that has actually infrastructure that looks more decent? Because I don't think there is anything there that you need to bother about." And I remember telling him, "No, we're taking the laptops to that school that is almost non-existent. And that's where we will take the laptops." And so he couldn't believe it when we did it. So he came there to see it for himself. And with the 11 wells, the place has become an attraction. So people are going. The agencies are going to work with the school. The senior government ministers are coming to the place, which was previously abandoned, forgotten by nearly everybody. It was on nobody's radar in the country. The next slide. Now, this gentleman you see is called Michael Joseph. He runs one of the most successful companies in Eastern Central Africa. It's called Safaricom. He is the CEO of Safaricom. When Michael Joseph heard about the laptop project, he couldn't believe it either. He learned it from the Secretary of Information and Communication, and he drove himself to Pokot to go and see what this was all about. He runs one of the most successful cell phone companies in the region. His company alone has over 12 million subscribers. You don't have any other company in Africa that has the largest number of subscribers. And he has one of the leading companies. It's been voted in the past 2 years as the best managed company in the whole region. And so he went to Pokot and visited this site, to the school, to see the laptop project. And you know, you can pick his signal. I can pick Safaricom signal when I'm in another country, in Rwanda or in Uganda and Tanzania. I can roam on his cell phone, on his company's, you know, service. But when he came to Pokot, he couldn't pick a signal of his own company. And he couldn't believe it. So you know what he said? He promised he's going to put up a tower not too far from the school so that the school can get internet access. And he looked at the school and he couldn't believe it. His company runs a foundation. They call it Safaricom Foundation. And they have, right now, they have gone through the bid and they have identified a contractor who is going to put up a new computer lab for that school. And the Secretary of Communication and Information, the one you saw earlier, he's actually promised to rebuild the whole school in a more, you know, putting a modern facility for the school. Now, when we went out to Pokot to do wells, none of us knew that it would lead to this. A simple step of faith that was almost scary to do. The Pokot are the most feared people in the country because of their warrior culture. I mean, they encourage, they cherish the warrior culture. And how do you become a respected warrior? You become a respected warrior because you have killed so many people. And nobody wants to go to Pokot to get killed. But simple steps of faith have opened up the area The government is coming in. They've redone the road. I'm sure when you are there, the road was far much better than what it was 2 years ago. And it's getting better now with the government coming in, taking notice of what has been going on. God has been so gracious. So faith that transforms calls us to take action, just like Abel did and led to a transformation of his own life, just like Enoch did. And so transformation, Noah seeing transformation that included his family, Abraham seeing transformation that saw the change and transformation to mankind. That's faith. Lastly, I believe our faith should be founded on God's word. Faith in what God has said, that his promises are true, that he will not disappoint us, that he will not leave us nor forsake us, that what he says, he will bring it to pass. And now, sometimes it may not always happen, but do not be discouraged. If you don't see the fruits of your faith, cheer up. Because scriptures in verse 15, oh, let me talk of verse 13, the Bible says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not even receive the things promised. But they kept walking by faith. They lived a life of faith. And even though they did not receive, they never gave up. What an encouragement to us that we can always step out in faith. And yes, sometimes we will see results, sometimes we may not. But listen, others may come behind us who will actually cherish the fact that we took the steps of faith. Others may come behind us and build on the foundation because you took a step of faith. That even though you never saw, even though you never received the promise, but because of the step of faith that you took, somebody else is able to live. I want to thank God that we have taken the steps of faith, and we could take more. And should we see the results, praise the Lord. But if we don't see the results, let's keep on by faith, because I'm sure somebody else will live because you and I stepped out in faith. Shall we pray? Blessed Savior, we thank you. We thank you because you're calling us to a faith that transforms, a faith that is able to transform our lives, a faith that is able to transform our communities. And you're even calling us to a higher level of faith than can transform the whole of mankind. How I pray that God, you will give us the boldness and the courage to continue assuring ourselves of this faith. And also to keep taking steps of faith, even when it is so scary to do so. That we will still obey you and step out in obedience. And that, Lord, you will constantly speak to us words of encouragement, words of faith, words that we can listen to and obey. Father, let your word come so clearly to us that we will be able to discern, that it will be so clear, it will be as if you are speaking behind us, telling us, yes, son, yes, my daughter, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, I pray that you will inspire and encourage each one of us, that our faith will transform our lives, our community, and even the entire mankind. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.